Bush and Richie here with your daily takeaway. Today is the day that I'm finally going to catch up on Dune 2.
Yes.
Having seen Dune all those years, well, not all those years back, but a couple of years back, and loving it. But I was paranoid. We have discussed this on the takeaway. I was paranoid that I wasn't going to remember everything. So I've been trying to cram everything in from the first Dune in the last couple of days. And unfortunately, I've only managed to watch the first hour and a half of the first movie.
It's so long, though, isn't it? It's all very, very long.
I know. So I found a five-minute YouTube video earlier on today which looked distinctly knockoff, whereas some bloke just going through the whole of that first Dune movie.
Oh, wow.
Giving you everything that you needed.
So it's a little bit like I remember getting a book that was like 7 or 8 pages long. It's like a pamphlet that told you pretty much everything you needed to know about Wuthering Heights.
Yeah.
Rather than having to read it from GCSE. Notes.
And do you know what? It was actually quite enjoyable. It kind of saved me the £19 I'm going to go and spend at the cinema tonight.
Do you know what? I think it's a great idea. I think they should release these things alongside. Like, what was that one that no one understood what was going on?
Oh, yes.
What? Tenet. Our producer Nick says Tenet. Yeah. What about pamphlet for that? There's loads of movies out there that I've watched and I don't understand.
Another home time idea. Feel free to nick it.
This is Bush and Rich's Daily Takeaway.
You're right. The countdown is on to the usual Easter weekend madness. You know the score. Apparently, drivers are being warned over long delays as more than 14 million Easter getaway trips are expected to take place. The RAC, you probably will have heard this in the news, said journeys on some routes could take twice as long, heading into a two-week break for schools and everything. But here's the best bit. The RAC are calling it Carmageddon.
Bah!
That's right, folks, Carmageddon. So a lot of people are going to be stuck in stuff this evening if they're trying to beat the traffic, ironically, and getting stuck in it. So let's, as we hurtle towards this vehicle doomsday scenario, let's share tales of nightmare car or transport-related things that have happened to you. I'll start you off. I remember we had a nightmare family drive back from Northumberland a couple of years ago when Katie was heavily pregnant with our youngest daughter, Stella, and was going through some awful morning sickness. Throwing up into loads of different stuff like scarves and towels.
It's a bad start already.
Anyway, when I was a kid, I remember that we used to get in the car with mum and dad and drive at night because it was, you know, put the kids in the car in the pyjamas and then you just fly through because no one's on the roads. Can't do that anymore because they do all the roadworks in the evening. I discovered that to the nightmare of the family. So we ended up having to go miles out of our normal route to get back home. We ended up going around Chelmsford, which has got a hell, or Colchester or something like that. It's got a load of roundabouts.
Right.
So I was taking Katie around incredibly bendy, wendy roundabouts while she had awful morning sickness and was just throwing up into loads of carrier bags. And we still talk about it to this day.
More carrier bags getting used, more scarves getting ruined than needed.
It's awful. They were all wedged into the little pocket you have down the side of your car door as well. Oh, man, it was just awful.
You might think it weird of me to bring up a snow-related story today, but it's snowed in Devon yesterday. The weather's been weird this week as well.
It has been odd. It's been very odd.
I remember being caught in a horrendous dump of snow between Reading and Basingstoke on a dual carriageway that's only about 3 miles long as I was heading back home. Should have been a journey that took 5 minutes. Honestly, 6 hours.
Oh, my word.
I thought it was going to be one of those ones where I was marooned and spending the night in a Volkswagen Jetta. It would have been horrendous.
No, but see, I would love that. I want to be one of those people. It's never happened to me. I want to be someone that I can turn to other people and tell them that I've played football on the M6. Because it's all at a standstill.
There was no playing football in that weather, trust me.
But you could have ended up on Sky News in like a local church or getting some warm soup.
Good luck to them getting to my car, but you're quite right. Could have been a local news story.
Barney says, I once slightly cut up someone on the way to a holiday in Cornwall with my wife and young family. They caught up with me on a dual carriageway and were very angry, to which I responded in kind. They then raced ahead and I saw the guy waiting for me in a lay-by for a fight. I, of course, sped past him, which made him even more angry, and then he jumped in his car to chase me. After a very tense 10 minutes, we managed to shake him off because of our head start and the heavy traffic. I was in big trouble with my wife, though, possibly an equal adversary.
That sounds horrendous.
I'm panicking even thinking about it.
I would hate that.
Oh, my God.
Text here, 81215. Driving back from Portsmouth to Somerset right now, and the traffic is looking tragic. Luckily, I can't believe this. Luckily, my eight-month pregnant wife is driving because I am quite drunk and I really need a wee, says this text.
I bet he doesn't have to go in and do the big shop as well. You get them people sat in the car park. I bet he does that.
Take a look at yourself, fella.
This is Bush and Rich's Daily Takeaway.
Kenny says, 4 a.m. drive from Eastbourne to Stansted Airport to catch a flight to Glasgow to watch football. Ooh. Went to the match. Flight back 3 hours after the game. Got to Stansted in the car. Broke down on the M11, waited for the breakdown services, and eventually got home at 2 a.m. Yes, he's been awake for 22 hours, and to make matters worse, yes, his team got beat.
Do you know what, it reminds me of having a season ticket for Everton the year we had James Beattie playing up front. Similar kind of vibe, but throwing Gordano services. Right, I've got Nikki on the line. Nikki, nightmare traffic story that happened to you?
So we were on our way to my sister's wedding, and my daughter and my son were in the back of the car. It was a hot day. She had one of those battery-operated handheld fans. She switched it on, and it basically ate her hair. She was screaming, obviously, as you would. And we had to go into the local garage, ask them if they had a pair of scissors we could borrow, and cut the fan out of her hair before a wedding.
Wow.
So that was gorgeous.
And bearing in mind, you're going to a wedding, so pictures are expected, and there's going to be a fan-shaped chunk of hair that's not going to be in the pictures.
Yeah, really lovely.
Did it all turn out okay in the end? Because, you know, you do have these family moments where everything looks like it's the end of the world, but you get it together when you actually arrive. Was it all right in the end?
Absolutely. It was a beautiful wedding.
Brilliant, there you go. So if you're struggling in any form of traffic whilst listening to this, there's light at the end of the tunnel, isn't that right?
Absolutely.
This person doesn't leave their name with good reason. It says, guys, my brother left Heathrow in his taxi heading back to Harlow but needed a number two. Had that feeling but thought it could wait. That feeling suddenly changed to one of more urgency. At the same time, the inevitable M25 carnage and miles of roads of tailbacks happened. Typically no embankments or bushes or anywhere to go for, said number two, as he was clenching and then curling his toes and sweating. Seeing a gate to a farmer's field and a few bushes, he pulled over and made a dash for it. As he jumped the gate, it moved, causing him to fall. Commando roll, and the inevitable happened. The story doesn't have me. It doesn't stop here. Having cleaned himself up to the best of his ability with limited resources, he returns to the farmer's gate only to realise that it wasn't even locked. Calling his wife, he recalled the situation and asked that a bath be ready upon his return.
And he's got to clean his own taxi.
Oh yeah, mate. Give himself his own foul in charge.
Oh dear. This story, with all due respect to Andy, who sent it, is really nowhere near as good. Driving to Scotland to see Oxford United took 15 hours. That's it.
It's no farmer's gate, is it?
It's no farmer's gate.
Let's move on quickly. We've got Jane on the line. Jane, what happened to you?
Back in 1981, I was a wren in Portsmouth, and about four of us in a car. I was the front passenger. Coming up to Liverpool, they were giving me a lift. And Gary Newman's aircraft, well, a little sort of aircraft went in front of us and crashed through the bush. So we stopped, and then these two people got out of the aeroplane, and it was Gary Newman and his manager.
So and let's just stop there 1 second. So you're saying that you were driving from Portsmouth to Liverpool with your mates, and Gary Newman from Our Friends Electric or whatever, here in my car, he crashed his little plane in front of you on the road.
Yeah, so I jumped out because I always had a camera with me. I jumped out and he came towards me, and the only thing I could think of was saying was, well, smile.
Wow. Smile, Gary. Turn that frown upside down.
He said, I've just crashed the plane. He said, I'll tell you what, though, can I borrow your camera for photographs for the insurance? So he did. And then he said, I'll take the film, because it was an old-fashioned camera. I'll take the film out, give me your address, and I'll send you the photos. And then he signed his autograph. Thanks to the camera, Gary Newman, and his ear. He always puts an ear on his.
Jane, that's amazing. It's so great that happened in non-technological times, because you'd just be airdropping him the picture. But back in the day, like you say, he's got to go off to Snappy Snaps and get that done.
So did you offer Gary a lift, or did you just leave him by his plane?
No, they just went off somewhere. I can't remember the rest of it. I was in awe. I can't believe that it happened. Because when we stopped, I went, geez, look at them. And this guy in the back goes, isn't that Gary Newman? Like, oh my God, that's Gary Newman! So that's why I jumped out of the car. So that's really good. I've still got the photographs in an album.
That is genuinely amazing.
I didn't think he would send them to me, because you think, you know, once you don't hear from them, you know. But I did. A couple of weeks later, I got the full set of photos, and it was cool.
Well, you know, musicians and snappy snaps, they can't keep away from each other. Well, I tell you what, that is a gauntlet thrown down for anyone else listening to this. That is the bar set very high. Gary Newman crashes his plane in front of you on the motorway. If you can beat that for a traffic story, get in touch.
Here in my plane.
Safest of all. The Daily Takeaway. Richie's Daily Takeaway. Dan says, a few weeks after buying a used car, we drove to the West End to go shopping. Coming home, just by Liverpool Street Station, we were surrounded by 8 police cars, screamed at to get out, and my missus was arrested. We were later told that the car had been previously involved in an armed robbery.
No!
What about that at the end of a shopping trip?
Nick, in Weston-super-Mare, on the way to the Glastonbury Festival in his VW Transporter T4,
ooh,
and it overheats. The lady in the car in front sees what's happening and gets out all quickly and kindly gives me a bottle of water for the radiator. Little did she know, because I was going to Glastonbury, I had about 40 litres of water in the back. Sorry, mate, but also thanks.
Joke's on her.
Yeah. Right, Carmageddon is happening as we speak. Rosemary, let us know what's going on, what's happening.
Currently on the A30, and the road was closed this morning, apparently, but we didn't know, so we're stuck, and we've been stuck here for nearly 3 hours.
So give us the background. Who's in the car, and what you've been doing?
My husband and I, our 11-year-old daughter and our 4-year-old daughter.
How are the kids coping? Because they're the ones that struggle in situations like this.
The 11-year-old is a bit ill, and she's been sick, but she's got a horrible cough, but she suddenly threw up, which was great fun.
Oh.
And the 4-year-old turned around and said, I think I wet myself. So I was trying to get her change while we were stationary and leaning over the back of the car. And then I thought, I'm not sure she's finished. So I asked if she needed a wee again, and she did. So I had to get an empty sandwich box and try and get her to balance over it. And it was all...
This is Carmageddon. I mean, we need to look no further of a definition than this. Is what's going on right now is Carmageddon in your car.
It was awful, and I just suddenly started laughing when I was hunched over the back of the car. It was one of those situations, really, in life.
Laughter is the only way to deal with situations like that. Rosemary, is there something that you can imagine on return at home? Is there a nice cold drink waiting for you, or something great that you can defrost in the fridge and eat?
What are we all looking forward to, guys, when we get home?
Clean out the car. Well, hang in there. We will get you through it here on Absolute Radio with some great tunes. Give us 3 rings when you get in safe.
Vanessa sharing a text 8-12-15. Just me and my 4 children. They were aged roughly 6, 8, 10 and 13. 10 hours to Cornwall. Standstill traffic on the M4. Blazing sunshine. Everyone was out the cars. Kids wandering around chatting to people. Somebody was even playing guitar,
yes,
and everyone having a little sing-song.
Do you know what? No matter where you go when there's people, like, gathered together, someone always ruins it on an acoustic, don't they? It's the worst thing of the summer, as far as I'm concerned. Richard says, Butch and Ricky, sort of car-related, got down to Heathrow at 7 a.m. this morning to collect £100,000 worth of Japanese koi carp that landed at 6 a.m. Customs took 8 hours to sort the paperwork out. The fish were almost at the airport longer than they were in the air. I've only this minute just got back to Birmingham. Long day in a van, but luckily, all the fish are OK.
That's not okay.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. The Daily Takeaway. It's time for Find a Word For, where every Thursday night on this radio show we expand the English language. That was close. We find a word for things or situations that currently don't have a word or a phrase, and we've got a belter tonight.
Yeah, it's quite a topical one, what with the long weekend. You might be heading away to visit friends or family. Maybe friends or family are currently stuck in traffic coming to visit you. But tonight, we need to find a word for that feeling when friends or family have visited, but you're now ready for them to leave.
Yeah, because sometimes you get people who come over, and it's brilliant, but then they might stick around till, like, 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening on a Sunday, and you think, what are you doing?
That wasn't the deal. That wasn't what was agreed.
So what? A word that kind of sums up that kind of inkling.
I would suggest that people like that are guest hangers.
Yes.
They're guest hanging.
They're just hanging around.
We've got guest hangers right now.
Or it's a little bit like a sleep OD.
Yes.
Would have had a sleepover.
Yes.
That you've OD'd a bit.
They've sleep OD'd.
They sleep OD'd. Sounds a little bit final, doesn't it? But you know what I mean?
It does a bit, but sometimes it can feel like that.
I feel bad now because my friend John and his family stayed with us last weekend. I don't want him in any way to think that this has popped up in some kind of reaction.
No, because you already came up with this idea as a word on Monday, didn't you?
It wasn't. It's nothing to do with me. I'm going to have to release an official statement on the steps of the building.
It wasn't him, John.
Stephen... You can stand next to me like my adoring and long-suffering wife.
Stephen suggested state-hated. A mixture of irritated and stay. For example, she looks so state-hated. Her family have been there for ages.
That's a quality word. Lady V's come up with a good one. She calls it friend-tigue.
Friend-tigue is good.
Friends, but fatigued
very,
at the same time.
Somebody not actually sent in a word, but a fantastic banner that they've bought. You know, you can go to a party and it, like a banner that will say happy birthday or something or other.
Tell me, what do they do?
It says, please leave by 9. And they just hang it up. It's great.
I kind of like it. At least people are being honest. And someone who's going to be honest with us right now is Chris, who's on the line. Chris, what word have you got for us for this situation?
Oh, a famlinger. A famlingerers.
Famlingerers. Brilliant. You've got experience to this?
Oh, it was one person in particular. He's no longer with the family. He's moved on. He was with my sister and my three kids. He used to come round, and he always came round Christmas, Easter. Bore. He was like that bloke Colin off the first show. He was just the biggest bore ever.
Well, it's getting deep, isn't it?
It really is. A famlinger, it sounds.
He's a famlinger.
Yeah, oh, famlinger. The kids used to say, oh, God, the famlinger's coming. And he used to come in. He was, to be fair, he was pleasant enough. He was just tedious, that was all.
I think we've all got one of them in our lives, haven't we? So he famlingers no more, does he? That's the best thing.
Oh, no. My sister's now moved to Australia, got a lovely boyfriend. Life's wonderful. But the famlinger... I'm going to text my kids later and tell them I've just told somebody about the famlingers. They'll laugh their heads off.
You've told more than one person. Adam's got a great suggestion. They're the unleavables.
Oh, my God, that's really good.
Isn't that really, really good?
I would say so far this evening, you guys are brilliant listeners. I've been more on form than you've ever been. Keep them coming in. Another good bit of news. 5 Words, 5 Grand is back with Kellogg's Crunchy Nut. It's the easiest game to play and the hardest game to win, but it's guaranteed to get you out the door with a smile on your face. Well, get your relatives and friends out the door. It's exactly what we're talking about. So make sure you join the Dave Berry Breakfast Show every morning when you wake up for a chance to win, and wake up to a brighter morning with Kellogg's Crunchy Nut. The trouble is, they taste too good.
This is the Daily Takeaway.
Kev is in the shower in Kent. A little bit more detail than we needed.
Thanks, Kev.
But thank you for that. Welcover is his suggestion. Their welcome is over. They are welcover.
I can't take his suggestion on board because he's texted us naked. He's ruled himself out of any further continuing thought about that. And Nat says, we don't really have a word for that feeling, but what we do is tend to say to our guests, if I was around your house, I'd be thinking about going around about now.
That's very blunt. I like that.
Very direct.
Tracy, what's the word?
It's rally rage.
You're getting rally rage.
Yes, you are.
Getting rally rage.
And have you had rally rage recently?
Not recently, but I'm expecting it this weekend when the in-laws come round.
Are they staying or is it merely a visit?
It's merely a visit, thankfully, but I'm not going to outstay the welcome.
Okay, and out of your in-laws, who's the most troublesome, mum or dad?
Definitely dad.
What does he do? Give us a little insight on what he does.
Oh, well, just he walks around and pokes his nose in stuff, and he's not supposed to open his drawers, and then spills drinks everywhere, and it's hard to be polite.
Just a quick question on due diligence. Is he an absolute radio listener?
No, he's not, thankfully.
Good.
Okay, we don't want him. No, nosy Parker.
Rally rage is very good, Tracy. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
This is the Daily Takeaway.
Our favourite was the unleavables.
Very, very strong.
That was from Adam, so fantastic. Thank you very much for that, Adam.
The noise of the past. It's Bush and Ritchie's Sound of the Decades. Absolute Radio 90.
So just to explain what happened earlier on, because these guys lost concentration whilst I was talking, which, to be fair, I don't blame them. Apparently, the Sound of the Decades was on TV.
Isn't that amazing?
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
While we were actually doing it. What about that? It's just some of the crazy stuff that kind of happens here on Home Time. All you got to do is guess what this sound is. No one's guessed it so far.
Ian thinks he's got it. How are you, Ian?
I'm very good, thank you. And you guys?
Hey, good, man. Thanks for asking. What are your Easter Bank holiday weekend plans?
I've got friends and family round tomorrow and then working on Easter Sunday.
Oh. Now, we've got a thing for find a word for a little bit later on, which kind of sums up your situation this weekend. Yeah. So you have to keep listening for that. What work-wise are you doing then on Sunday?
I'm a firefighter.
Good man.
Oh, busy man.
Hey, now, weirdly enough, we talked about this on the show, I think, last week. Do firefighters still, like, slide down a pole when they get the alarm and have to go and get in the van and that?
Some stations still have them, some stations don't.
I would want a pole if I was going to do firefighting.
I feel shortchanged.
I do feel let down because we don't have one at our station.
Well, listen, we maybe you need to like do a campaign to get the bring the pole back. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that'd be right behind, yeah.
Ian, when you listen to this Home Time show, which of all the Absolute Radio stations do you choose to listen to it with?
Usually the main station.
Absolute Radio, usual main. Good.
Right, it's a 90s sound, Ian. It's been going for a long while. You're the last chance to get it guessed before we head into the long weekend and it returns on Tuesday. What are you guessing for this sound of the decade from the 90s?
I'm going to guess at Ellie Fun.
At what?
Ellie Fun. It's a game. It was a blue sort of hairdryer thing with a plastic trunk, which blew butterflies out, and the kids had to catch the butterflies.
Any kids who were born later than 1999, whatever, you don't realise how lucky you are. Some of the stuff we had to play with back in the day. So you think it's this, the elephant game?
Yeah.
Ellie Fun.
Elephants can be fun. I'm always saying this.
But I've never seen Attenborough show me a wildlife programme where they're blowing butterflies out of their trunk.
Oh, I keep watching, you never know. They do have some surprises.
Is it Ellie Fun?
You're a loser. You have lost.
Sorry, Ian, but that's a fantastic guest, though. It's maybe our finest guest on this particular sound.
It's still better than Champagne Supernova.
Still can't get my head around that fella. It's surely hell of fun. Ian, have an amazing weekend.
You too, guys.
Sound of the Decades will rest until Tuesday. You need to work hard over the bank holiday weekend to work out what it is.
And then it rises again.
Oh, yeah.
The Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
So there's the podcast. Let's just return to what we were talking about at the beginning about Richie going to watch Dune 2. Are you going on your own this evening, or who are you?
I'm going with my fireman friends.
Oh, the fireman.
we watch movies together.
I like that you guys do that. Was it you going to meet him? Like, are you going to go for a food first?
No, we're just going to meet outside and walk to the cinema together.
Okay, well, I hope you both enjoy it.
Thank you very much.